Well, I came through his collaborator, Francis LaFleche. LaFleche is a Native American, or was a Native American anthropologist, who both grew up in the Omaha tribe and studied the music. And he was the one that approached Cadman and Cadman's librettist, Nell Richmond Eberhart, about writing this opera in 1908.
Cadman, if you look him up on the internet or you spend any time with his music, you see that he's always referred to as the American Indianist composer. I'm not sure what that means in 2017. Can you tell me what that meant during his time and what that,
sure.
why that is still attached to his music today?
There were a number of composers at the time that wrote music based on Native American melodies. Another famous one was Arthur Farwell. But Cadman really made his name with these songs, and he came to regret it later, apparently, that he made his name with these songs that were based on Native American tunes. Not that he didn't continue to like those songs, but he didn't want to have that stereotype. He wanted to be able to write all kinds of music, but he was continually known as this Indianist writer, meaning simply that he based his music on the tunes from Native American
groups. So he got stereotyped.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Now, he had been no stranger to success in the opera house. He is known as the first American composer to write an opera that was performed at the Metropolitan Opera of New York. That was in March of 1918. The opera was called The Robin Woman Chanoisse, and the librettist is the aforementioned Nell Richmond Eberhart.
Yep.
And this got rave reviews in the New York Times. People were very, very impressed with this opera, and it had about 12 performances over two seasons, and then went on during Cadman's lifetime to have a life. Hasn't had much since, but he had enjoyed a lot of success. Where was he career-wise when Ramallah came along?
He had written a couple songs, just standalone songs, At Dawning and Land of the Sky Blue Water in the early 1900s, 06, 09. So that was when LaFleche had heard those songs and liked them and approached Cadman about writing this opera. So he actually wrote the first draft of this opera before Chanoisse. He finished the first draft, which at that time was called Daoma, in 1912. And they tried throughout the 19-teens to get this published and performed, and it was rejected by several opera companies. And so then he came back to it in the 1930s and revised it into Ramallah, shortening a little bit, taking some of the criticisms were that it wasn't very dramatic. A lot of the drama happens off stage, maybe too much recitative. And so he made some changes like that, but apparently not enough to get it performed in the 1930s either.
When you looked yourself at the score of Ramallah, and I'm assuming you had to go looking for it when
yeah.
you rapid look at it. What was that search like?
I mean, it's there in the archives of Penn State Libraries. Other scholars know it's there. It's not like I made a huge discovery, but for whatever reason, there hasn't been interest in actually trying to perform it. So it's there in a very messy handwritten orchestral score and a very nicely written piano reduction. So that's what we're working from. We're going to be just performing it with a piano. And yeah, it's there. It's all there because he had it nicely written up because he was peddling it. He was trying to get it performed.
What musically about it impressed you when you were looking at the score for the first time?
It reminds me a lot of his other songs, the beautiful melodies, this romantic kind of harmony with chromaticization and key changes and flowing lines and flowing accompaniments.
When he was writing his own music, Debussy was all the rage, and Stravinsky mm-hmm. was coming up, and Puccini was the one raking in the big bucks for his operas. So he had a lot of people writing tunes and melodies and important music in his lifetime. I should mention that Cadman lived from 1881 to 1946, kind of burned out career-wise, sadly. His end was not very happy. He lived in California for a number of years. Did he write for Hollywood?
He did.
Yeah, for the movies. And
high school operettas. One of his stated goals was to make accessible music that was still artistic.
Well, he wrote lovely music that you can hum to, which is a gift. Not everybody had that gift who was doing very well at the time. Why do you think he kind of went away? Why don't we know more about him today or his music?
He said himself that maybe he was sort of behind his times, continuing to write in a romantic style by the 1930s, and people were looking for something new.
A little jazzy, a little more chromatic.
Maybe,
right. Ramalat, give me a rundown of the story and the dramaturgy.
Okay. It is set in the past in a traditional Omaha village, and it begins with two men realizing they're in love with the same woman. And they pledge friendship to each other, saying she can choose who she loves, and we will not let it affect our friendship. The woman, Ramala, cannot decide, so she does this sort of game of chance to decide who she loves. At the same time, they're going off to war, and she follows them to declare her love to the one that she chooses. The one who loses cuts the bowstring of the one who wins. He gets captured, and my favorite part is that she goes to save him. He's captured by the enemies, and she goes into the tent and cuts him free and takes him home.
Happy ending, sort of?
Well, for the two of them.
For the two of them, yes.
The jilted lover kills himself.
Oh, well, that's very operatic, certainly. That's,
yeah.
That could be something out of the 19th century. Verdi could have done something with that as well. So Ramala has not been performed to your knowledge at all. Is that right? It lived in an archive at Penn State.
Yeah. There were a couple selections from the opera that Cadman turned into orchestral suites that were performed only once that I know of, but maybe in some other smaller places.
What musically is a good introduction to Cadman's work for someone who doesn't know his music? What would you recommend?
I would say the songs At Dawning and Land of the Sky Blue Water.
Those were the hits.
Yeah, those are the ones that I know. Maybe you know more about as chamber works. You were saying that you listen to
I know
those.
A couple of the piano trios. I've been listening to the third piano trio, which is quite beautiful. So I would recommend those as well. He is a composer well worth knowing better, and represented a time when people were actually starting to realize that there were such a thing as Native Americans that weren't, you know, horrible stereotypes, that they had a culture. And he was an American composer, one of several scholars and composers and writers who paid attention to that. And I think for that reason, if nothing, beside the fact that he wrote lovely music, he's worth our attention today.
Yeah.
You need to be at Weigel Auditorium on campus at 7:30 on November 1st. I think that's a Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
And it's free.
It is.
Just come and learn something beautiful and new. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.